Would you remain standing, please, for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew's gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the wing of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. How many of you have given up something for Lent? Okay. Don't worry if you didn't raise your hand, because as our bulletin said last week, giving up something is not the only way to observe Lent. But if you did give up something, would you be willing to raise your hand if you're already finding it pretty hard? I am. Despite his advantages as the Son of God, Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness without food were hard for him. Fasting from food is no light endeavor. You lose the desire, so I'm told, to eat after a few days, but you grow weaker and weaker. It's not easy for a human being to go without food. While he was fully God, Jesus was also fully and completely human, including our physical weakness. It was hard for him. Count on it. Jesus knows what it's like to be us and to give up something we really want. Verse 1 shows us Jesus in his full humanity. Jesus was led up by the Spirit. That's the source of his whole direction and strength. He was God. But as we will read from Philippians 2 on Palm Sunday, he did not hang on to his power as God. Instead, as a human being like us, he depended on the guidance and strength of the Holy Spirit. That's why we should never look at Jesus going without food or doing a miracle or forgiving those who crucified him and say something like, "Well, it was easy for him. He was God." Yes, he was and is, but he laid all his God privileges aside when he became human, became one of us. And in everything he did or said, Jesus relied on the same spiritual resource he gave to you and me, the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit then who led Jesus out in the wilderness to be tempted. That word can also mean tested. It was the devil who did the tempting, but the Spirit brought Jesus there to be tested by those temptations. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus, who gave up his divine rights, also gave up a very basic human right for 40 days and nights there in the wilderness. He fasted. He did not eat. Those 40 days in the wilderness remind us of the 40 years Jesus' people, the children of Israel, spent in the wilderness. Go back and read Exodus, and you'll find that unlike Jesus, they were always complaining about not enough to eat or even just not having the things they liked to eat. And so Jesus went into the wilderness to get right what his ancestors got wrong. He went out to be tested and tempted and hungry, but without complaining, without giving in, or failing God his Father. That's the story of Jesus' life and our salvation. He does what we fail to do. He gets right what we get wrong. And then, without deserving it, we get to participate in his success. We get saved by his goodness when we haven't got any of our own. Jesus was out there getting tempted so he could overcome temptation for all of us who have given in to temptation over and over. Jesus suffered 3 temptations. Some of you know this story well, and we heard it in the song, and I read it. Satan played on Jesus' hunger first, verse 2 ends saying he was famished. And so verse 3, naming the devil by what he does, calling him the tempter, tempted Jesus with an easy solution to that hunger. Use his power as the Son of God, his power as God, to make rocks into bread. Food was the first human want used to tempt Jesus. And then in verse 5, the devil changed strategy to play on a human desire that's more subtle. He took Jesus up on top of the temple, literally the wing of the temple, the extreme edge, probably looking down into the Kedron Valley, long way down there. And then the devil used the fact that human beings want safety, want to feel secure. And so he encouraged Jesus to test that, quoting God's promise in Psalm 91 that he will send angels to protect the one he loves. Then the last temptation in verses 8 and 9 focuses on something the Son of God had come into our world for in the first place. He came to be king, to take control of this world, to rule it as his kingdom in love and peace. And as a human being, Jesus would have felt, like you and I feel, the desire to be in control, to rule our own lives and even some of the lives around us. And so he was tempted by that human want, the need to have control. Food, security, control. Those were Jesus' temptations there in the wilderness after 40 days of going without food. And they are still our temptations. Most of us have plenty of food, but we're still tempted by the way we get food, which is we buy it. We're tempted by our want for more and more money to buy our food and everything else we want. Many of us are pretty secure in all the ways that matter, but we are tempted by our want for more security, for more laws and walls and weapons to protect us from the things we fear. And a number of us have a lot of control, a lot of power over our own lives and the lives of others, but we want more. We want to rise to the top, to be the best, to tell others what to do instead of being told. You and I, as human beings, want and are tempted by the very same things our divine but very human Savior wanted and was tempted by. Jesus in the wilderness passed the test which Israel failed in the wilderness. He trusted God and resisted the temptations there. What Jesus gets right and repairs goes even further back than that. We read Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification for all. Adam and Eve, the very first human beings, failed that test of temptation, and from them we all become sinners. But Jesus passed that test and made us all righteous in him. In our reading from Genesis 3 today, we heard how Satan tempted the first human beings. What did Eve see when she looked at the fruit on the tree? It was good for food, a delight to the eyes, and something to be desired to make one wise. Eve and then Adam wanted food, first of all. They wanted something, then they wanted something that looked good, and then they wanted to be wise, which is a way to be in control. The serpent told them they would be safe, secure. You're not going to die. God didn't really say that. He told them you'd be like God. They would have power. They would have control. When Jesus was tempted, it was that moment in the Garden of Eden all over again, except Jesus got it right. 1 John 2:16 also numbers out three temptations. John calls them the desire of the flesh, that's hunger, the desire of the eyes, that's wanting to see yourself safe and sound, and then the pride of life, which is, again, wanting to be in control, to have power. John says that those desires, those wants, come from the world, not from God. Verse 17 declares, "And the world and its desires are passing away, but those who do the will of God live forever." We have wants. We want stuff. Some of it is literal stuff, like food. And so, in today's world, we pretty much want money, lots of it, so we can buy all the other stuff we want. The other stuff we want is, as I said, more subtle, harder to exactly identify, but it's basically stuff like security and power. We want to feel safe, to feel like someone will take care of us, that we'll be loved and protected. And we often want some power, some say about our lives, to be able to control what happens to us. But Jesus shows us that those perfectly natural and normal human wants can be great temptations. Last week, I got a new cell phone and a new phone plan. And I'm telling myself that I did it for others, for you. My old cheap prepaid cell phone made and received calls just fine, but text messages often failed to come through if they were too long or if somebody included a picture or something in it. And so maybe I said to myself, one of you or someone in my family would be trying to text me something important and I'd miss it. And so I wanted and got a new phone. But I don't have to dig very deep into my soul to realize that I also just wanted a spiffy new gadget with a bigger screen and faster performance to load apps like my Kindle book reader. I wanted the security of feeling like I'm up to date and in control with my phone. I still think I had a good reason for getting it, but I also know that it was mixed up with those human temptations for the stuff we want. Most of the stuff we want is like that. In many ways, it is good and right for us to want and have it. Food and security and control are all precious and often good things. Even money is a good thing to have and to save and use wisely for what we need and to help others. But running through and alongside those wants is a voice tempting us with that stuff in ways that are not good, to use that stuff to draw us away from God and what He wants for us. These temptations came for Jesus at a crucial moment. At the end of Matthew 3, you see that it came right after his baptism. And then if you look a little farther down in chapter 4 to verse 17, you read that it came right before he started preaching. Well, that's what Jesus was right in the middle of getting ready for what he came to do. But he was not going to be distracted from that by these temptations. He was going to follow God the Father's will for him instead of his own human wants. He was going to rely on the Holy Spirit rather than on his own power. It's often pointed out that Jesus' response to every one of those temptations was a quotation from Scripture. Tempted by bread, in verse 4, Jesus recited Deuteronomy 8:3. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when the devil tried to get Jesus to test his security, to make his safety a sure thing, Jesus went to Deuteronomy again, chapter 6, verse 16. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then when Satan promised Jesus absolute control over the whole world for the very small price of worshiping Satan, Jesus went right back there to Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, and said, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus wanted stuff. He wanted good stuff. But he was not going to let his wants, let the temptation to have that stuff, get in the way of what God wanted for him. And his answer was to go back to what he knew God had truly said about what God wanted and what really mattered in human life. And that was to be found in Scripture. We want stuff. At least some of the stuff we want is good. Food or money can be good. Security is good. Some degree of control over our lives and our world is good. God created human beings, it says there in Genesis, to have dominion over creation. But our adversary, the accuser, which is what both devil and Satan mean, constantly tries to turn our wants against what we really want, which is to know and love God and to do what he wants. Friday afternoon, a couple of people on our homeowners association board stopped by my office to get my signature. In the process, one of them, an older Polish woman, mentioned that I should Google her father. I don't know what brought it to her mind, but her father is Dr. Eugene Lazowski. And it turns out Alexandra's father was an amazing man, a kind of Polish Schindler, like in Schindler's List. He was a medical doctor during the Nazi era. He discovered that he could fake a positive test for typhus by injecting dead typhus bacteria into people. And so he injected Jews about to be sent to prison camp from a ghetto near him and then sent their blood in for testing. And the Nazis were so afraid of infection that then they wouldn't take those infected Jews. And he injected thousands until the Nazis decided there was a typhus epidemic breaking out. And they cordoned off the whole neighborhood, leaving all those Jews in peace and safety. Dr. Lazowski used his medical knowledge to resist the evil of his time and saved about 8,000 people. Jesus resisted Satan's evil by his knowledge of God's word, and he saved the whole world. Anyone who believes in him. Our way to resist evil, to resist temptation to get stuff we want instead of seeking God, is the same as it was for Jesus. We need to turn to the knowledge God gave us about ourselves and about our world. We turn to Scripture, to the Bible. That's why we're reading Scripture together again this Lent, so we can know it and remember it like our Lord Jesus knew it. Then we can resist evil when it shows up around us and in us. I often talk about this, but one of my privileges as pastor is to be with and talk with people in the last days of their lives. Some of them have lost pretty much everything they thought they wanted, including their memories. They may not know my name, their children's names, or even their own names. But sometimes, if I start saying familiar words from God's word, like, the Lord is my shepherd, they'll join in with me. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And we'll say it together then. When the day comes to face the final test, when you and I are getting ready to depart this life, I don't think any of us will wish that we had eaten more. I kind of doubt anyone will regret not having the latest cell phone. And I'm even pretty sure that we won't look back feeling we could have lived more safely or exerted more control over our lives. But we might wish, and I know I will wish, that we had known and trusted God's word more. We want stuff, but sometimes God asked us to resist temptation to have that stuff. It may be bad, or it may not be good for us at the moment. It's hard. But just like Jesus, we need to resist the tempter, to resist evil, wherever and however it appears. We see lots of evil going on in the world around us. Our Lord's example teaches us not to go along with it to get what we want. Like Him, we need to resist. And contrary to Star Trek, resistance is not futile. We want stuff, but God wants us to give us the truly good stuff. He wants to give us Himself, to give us the true desires of our hearts in His own love and grace. That's what Jesus came to give us. That's what He got right for us. Now let's follow Him and let Him get it right in us. Let's study and know His Word so that when our wants for stuff are getting the better of us, we can always turn toward what is better, toward Him. Amen.